What's going on, everybody? My name is Joe Orico, and I am the host of the Fantasy MLB Today podcast. The reason you guys are hearing this intro, which is slightly different than usual, is because this episode is going to be slightly different than usual. It is one part of the live show that I did today on Tuesday, August 2nd, as part of the Major League Baseball trade deadline coverage that we have going here at Sports Ethos. Broken down into 4 1-hour episodes, because the different panels were on for 1 hour each. You guys can listen to them here at your leisure or over on the Sports Ethos YouTube channel. Really appreciate you guys leaving a thumbs up over on YouTube, subscribing to the Sports Ethos YouTube channel, and of course, follow, download, subscribe, rate, all that good stuff here at Fantasy MLB Today. I'm over on Twitter at JoeOrico99. All of my fantasy baseball content goes out over there. I really recommend you guys follow everybody that you see listed down in the description for all of these episodes. Really some of the best minds amongst the baseball and fantasy baseball community. So without further ado, let's get started. We have a brand new panel coming in for the next hour. We have a couple of more guys from Triple Play who I'm sure Mendy would be familiar with. Britton, Marty, and of course, Mike, who is not a member of Triple Play, but I'll let you guys introduce all your stuff right here. Thank you, first of all, for joining me today. I really appreciate it, guys. It's a free-for-all. Everybody can just go ahead. There's no order here. But, well, I guess we'll start with Britton. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, hey, everyone. It's good to see you, Joe. Thanks for having me on. This is my second favorite, time in the baseball season. The first one being opening day, of course. But today is super exciting, and I couldn't be happier to join you. My name is Britton Allen. I have a podcast called Three is a Magic Number on the Triple Play Podcast Network. Like my man down here, Marty Party Tallman. And you can follow me at Twitter on, it's just my name, Britton Allen. Not the most creative Twitter handle in the world, but that's where I post all my podcasts and videos. And it's all about fantasy baseball and baseball. So please check it out if you can. Thanks again, Joe.
Hey, absolutely. And I think this is Govier. It might be Deary, but I think it's Govier saying Britton is so sexy. Well, Govier, you're going to be on in a little while, buddy. So maybe hop in a little bit early into the chat and you can come on here, talk with Britton for a second. Marty Tallman, another Triple Play member. We just talked last week, actually, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago now. Britton, Marty, and I were on the Potapalooza panel talking about some disappointing hitters. So a little bit of a reunion here. Marty, man, how are you doing?
Joe, I'm doing great. Thank you for saving me from my day job. I've been on the phone all day trying to sling sales, so this is a lot more fun talking trade deadline. Thanks for putting this on. You can find me at Marty_Tallman on Twitter. I'm writing for Fantrax. I'm on the Fantasy Baseball Podcast each week, and super excited, man. This has been a crazy day.
It's been insane. Hopefully there's more stuff. I think the big dominoes likely have fallen, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe an Ohtani trade comes out of the woodworks or something like that. Our last panelist here, my friend who has been on the show before, Mike Carter. How are you doing, man?
Hey, guys. How are you? Is there something going on today? I wasn't aware.
Yeah, Jonathan Lucroy retired. That was the big news today.
You mean the White Sox didn't try to sign him? I'm wondering, I'm sitting here, I'm hoping against hope by wearing my White Sox hat that they're actually going to do something more than get Jake Dietmick. But we'll see what happens. We've got a couple hours left. Great to be on with you guys. Britton, never been on with you, but a big fan of your work. Great stuff that you're doing.
So, thank you.
Very cool. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
Yeah, no problem, Mike. Why don't you just tell us real quick about what you got going on right now?
Oh, God, what don't I have going on? No, I'm just a pure baseball guy. I don't do anything with football, so I'm with baseball to the bitter end. I'm working over at Fantrax right now, covering bullpens on the weekly basis for them, which has been interesting. I also have worked at SP Streamer for a bit as well, doing streaming hitters for them on the weekends. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm getting ready to start school again next week here with the students and everything. So it's all going to come to an end. I do want to point out my great t-shirt, though. I always wear a different t-shirt for these This is, it says Jesus saves, if you can see it. It is my pastor at the church said it was not offensive. I asked him. I wanted to make sure that I did that before I bought it. Jesus is a flame-throwing lefty here on my shirt. So I want to make sure everybody saw that one. It's a great one.
That's great, man. I'm really looking forward to chatting with you guys. I've chatted with all of you before, and it was cool because the previous panel was all new guys I was meeting, you guys I've all talked to before. So maybe I won't be quite as nervous here as we get into hour two. Just checking the feeds here as I've been doing here pretty regularly just to see if there's any more breaking news. Nothing recently. The most recent big deal we had go down was Tyler Molly going to the Twins. Do you guys have any initial hits on that one?
Hey, Joe, before we talk about that, can I ask Mike a quick question since he's a White Sox fan?
This is a free-for-all. This is an absolute free-for-all. There's no turns. Everybody just goes when they feel like it.
Hey, Mike. All right. So what about a Carlos Rodon back to the White Sox?
I was floating that all day today. I was thinking about that, and I thought the public relations nightmare that this would be for Rick Hahn bringing him back, but there's a part of it that makes really good sense for them if he was to decline the option for next year. I mean, I think that makes him hard to trade, you know. If he invokes that, I think they owe him $22, $23 million, which would be pretty funny from a White Sox fan standpoint. Because my thought was, you know, they actually need a hitter too. Like, well, if Jock is healthy, maybe they could do something to get Jock and Rodon, you know, in Chicago because they need some help. They need some help, guys. It's been ugly. Jake Diekman is not going to solve the problems, but I would love that, Britton. I think that would be a great move for them. But people here would have Rick Hahn on a platter for that, let me tell you.
Letting him walk and then paying for him.
Right, exactly. You know, they tried to sell us on having Keuchel and Cueto, you know, in the offseason. And Cueto's been great. I mean, no fault of his. But if your big guys don't do anything, Eloy Jimenez has got 5 home runs. Moncada's hitting 203. Lurie Garcia plays every day, no matter what is happening. My buddy and I went to the game last night, and we were jokingly referring to Lurie as the love child because he gets special treatment from La Russa. We can't figure out why he's hitting 213. I just keep saying, hit my weight. If you hit my weight, you'll be a millionaire.
Have you guys seen the videos of La Russa going around? I think it was from yesterday, maybe the day before.
Fell asleep in the
Falling asleep. It's the top of the first. The guy's falling asleep in the top of the first
inning. Well, you know, it was really interesting. We had great seats. We were right behind, like, between home plate and first base dugout yesterday, and maybe 12, 15 rows up. And he came out to do the lineup exchange, and Matheny was out there doing it for the Royals. And there was some guy with La Russa. I don't know if they're like auctioning off time with Tony before he falls asleep or what. But the guy came out with the lineup card and he was having banter with him. And La Russa was literally like in La La Land. He's looking around at the crowd, waving at people. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's like, he looks like the Crypt Keeper, you know? Somebody wake him up. There's a pitching change that needs to be made. Somebody make sure Tony's still breathing.
Man, is he going to get fired? Are they going to do it, Mike?
You know, what if my brother and I were talking about this, have been talking about it for a couple of weeks. And I thought, you know, I wonder if, you know, if there's a way to save face in all of this by saying, you know, maybe he has a health issue or, you know, he's 78 years old. He clearly does not seem to be wanting to do the job. The thing that really bothers me the most is that he was known, he wrote books about his preparation. Right? Like the preparation was meticulous. And then for you to go into a game and say, you know what, I'm 1-2. I think we're going to intentionally walk this guy here. There's nobody in baseball that would do that. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Like after the game, people ask him questions and he gets so like angry with the reporters. They're like, well, what? I mean, what would you do? I was like, not that, you know, like the question here is, you know, what a lot of people want is they say, hey, this team lacks fire, it lacks energy, put Ozzy back in, you know, pick. And Ozzy's the post game guy. It's really uncomfortable. I mean, Ozzy's the post game guy on the White Sox broadcast, and he's just like, this is like a death by a thousand paper cuts. They just can't do anything right. They'll win a couple games in a row, and then they lay a turd like they did last night. I mean, Daniel Lynch looked like he was Warren Spahn last night. I mean, they made him look like he was an all-star. It was unbelievable. I'll stop ranting.
Lance Lynn?
I'm sorry, Marty, you cut out.
Is Lance Lynn bouncing back or what?
Yeah, I think he will. You know, I think he, similar to like the NBA players that don't play real hard during the season, he's clearly not, nor am I, a big fan of conditioning. I think he's been using these games to kind of try and get himself back into a flow and be working on stuff. But the thing that's important to remember about Lance Lynn is that he's essentially a one-pitch pitcher, right? I mean, so he's basically challenging you. He's 6'5", 250 pounds. He's saying hit it, right? So I don't know that that always fits in real well with a philosophy, but I'm hard-pressed to tell you what the White Sox philosophy is right now. I mean, for reasons that I don't fully understand, none of their starting pitchers want to throw a changeup anymore. Giolito won't throw it. Kopech is throwing two pitches. He pitched great last night, but I just don't understand. They should be way better than what they are. I just don't know what the plan is here. Obviously, the big guys need to produce. I mean, Mankata's got to play better. Eloy's got to be better. TA looks like something's off too. I mean, it just doesn't look right. I don't know.
No power anymore. There's no power in Anderson. I think he hasn't hit a home run in like, what was it, 6 weeks or something?
I mean, he's got, you know, there was a stat on White Sox Twitter the other day about the home run leader since June 1st is Josh Harrison. with five. He's got the most home runs on the team. I mean, it's sickening.
Even Abreu, who's done pretty well this year overall. I mean, he started kind of slow and he's turned it around, but still not really much power there, despite everything else looking up.
I think he's leading the league in 6-3 ground ball double play balls. I honestly, I think every time he comes up with a runner on first, he gets it to the shortstop. It's unbelievable.
I wanted to get to your take here, all of you really, on some of the big stuff that's happened so far, namely Juan Soto. That is the big haul. The first group thought more or less it was pretty much as good as you're going to do when you're trading away Juan Soto. Do you guys think that they should have held out for more or maybe not included Josh Bell? Let's start with you. We'll start with you, Marty. How do you think that the Nationals did today?
Yeah, I think they did the best they could. You know, I'm obviously if the market was any better, they would have went with that. I mean, the idea that Dylan Carlson may have held up a Cardinals trade. I mean, that's not fair to Dylan Carlson. I feel like they kind of threw him under the bus with that. That's where he's forever linked with the Hall of Fame 23-year-old. So if that's what the best was on the table, then I think they had to take it. They already blew it with Soto, you know, by not flying him out to the All-Star game, by telling everybody he's on the trading block. There was no way they were going to keep him. He clearly didn't want to stay, even with the $400+ million contract. So they had to do what they had to do. I think back to Miguel Cabrera when the Tigers traded for him all those years ago, and the Cameron Maven, the Andrew Miller, like that didn't work out. This might work out somewhat, but nothing will ever touch Juan Soto. And If you're a Padres fan, for the last 20, 30 years, you've been pretty much, you know, not relevant. You know, and you've had Tony Gwynn and maybe Ken Caminiti, and maybe there's a couple more people in there you might have liked. But, man, that roster 1-7 is absolutely incredible.
Braden, what about you, man?
I absolutely love it for both sides. It's a carpe diem situation, which, as we all know, is French for go get Juan Soto if you possibly can. I love it because you get Juan Soto with Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr., who should be back within the next couple weeks. Superstar lineup. Like, let's go out and win right now. You've got Darvish. Musgrove just signed an extension. You just traded for Josh Hader. Like, you've got the win now team right now. So I think it's great for the Padres, and I think it's great for the Nationals too. Like Marty just said, they got really good prospects back. They got C.J. Abrams. They got Mackenzie Gore. Those are all top 10 draft picks by the Padres. And Robert Hassel III, he's awesome too. So they're building for the future. And, Marty said again, you're not keeping Juan Soto, and you got to trade him now. Like, maximize his value. And it's right now because, you know, next year, if he gets hurt and, you know, tears his ACL or whatever, you know, then the market goes down. So I thought it was great. I thought it was big time from the Padres. And also check your gut time with the Nationals, because trading off a superstar like that is hard to do, but they're not going anywhere anytime soon. So I thought it was great for both sides.
I just think maybe they could have gotten that same return and then sent Josh Bell somewhere else and gotten a couple of other prospects. Like, even if you don't throw Bell in there and you remove the whole Bell and the second piece of that trade, instead of Eric Hosmer, it ended up being Luke Voit. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with it the last like half hour or so, but I think that you could have just done Soto for that whole group of prospects, more or less, and then try and milk a little bit more from somebody else out of Josh Bell. What do you think, Mike? Do you think that what they did?
You know, I hadn't thought about it from that perspective, Joe. I think after kind of looking through it, I wondered if maybe the deal was sweetened a little bit because they included Bell. Like, you know, maybe they were able to get Hassel and Gore out of that. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe someday we'll find out the truth about that. But I think my biggest take, the only thing that I would say, I think Britton and Marty nailed it. I mean, I think it's a great trade for both teams. The Nationals clearly are in a full rebuild, and they're looking to acquire some prospects. And I think they did well to not take on Hosmer's dead money and get a somewhat useful part in Voit anyway. They know if he's healthy, he's going to hit home runs. So that's a decent replacement for Bell there. The one thing that I found interesting about this was that, a couple of weeks ago, Preller and the Padres were crying about money and being poor, and they've just spent a shit ton of money in this week. And if they're not serious about if they win this year, couldn't you see a scenario where they say, you know, we don't want to pay Soto $500 million either. We're going to trade him. Like, they could turn around on this if they don't win it all. All their pieces are in the middle of the table right now. If they don't win it all, they could very easily flip Soto for prospects next year to somebody.
That's a great point.
That would be, I mean, that'd be
it would be crazy. I mean, but that's Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is insane. We have no idea what's going to happen.
Right? I just saying here. I had no idea that Luke Voit was a part of that trade. I picked him up in a head-to-head league this morning. I am pissed. He had a doubleheader today. Come on.
Hey, can I ask y'all real quick a question? Mike brought this up about Eric Hosmer invoking his contract no trade clause or whatever, which it's totally his decision to do. But I thought that was fascinating because, you know, they're trying to get rid of you. And so you're just going to say, no, you can't trade me. So I'm just going to stay here for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
I wonder how that would work. I wonder if the GM is, you know, looks at his contract and said, okay, you have a no trade clause, but that doesn't mean I can't DFA you. So yeah, you go down and play at El Paso for the next 4 years, and yeah, you're making $18 million a year, but you're going to get on the bus and you're going to drive around Texas and wherever else, and you're collecting your money. But I strongly encourage you to reconsider your stance on trades. You
know? Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, I thought, well, I think he has 3 years and $39 million left on that contract, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And he had 10 teams or 12 teams, whatever, that he could veto a trade to, which is his right as a veteran player. But, I mean, so he doesn't want to go to Washington, but he's going to go to Boston instead? Like, Boston is okay? I mean, I could see it if he's a guy that's married and has young kids and he's living in San Diego, he's established there, I can understand not wanting to move. However, it's part of the game, right? So now he's on Boston, and God only knows what the hell Boston's doing. I looked at that last night. I go, what are they? What's the plan here?
Let's trade
Vasquez, and then we gave him Reese McGuire, which bye, which is fine. But like, what's their plan? They got Tommy Pham. Is everybody just going to slap each other around in the clubhouse? I mean, what's going to happen here?
You're right. It's Tommy Pham, Reese McGuire, and Eric Hosmer. What are they going to talk about? You know,
and Chris Sale
put their lockers. No,
they could talk to McGuire about jerking off in the dollar store parking lot.
Oh, no,
that story was legend here.
It should never die. Immediately when they traded for him, Jack, my son, my who's 12 today. Today's his birthday. He goes,
happy birthday.
What can you tell me about Reese McGuire? I go, not that one. Yeah, I ain't going to tell you that one. You know. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that story has taken on like folklore here in Toronto.
Oh,
almost.
I bet. It's
how
great.
You feeling about Anthony Bass, Joe? Are you excited?
The thing with Jordan Groshans, who we traded away, and we got another guy back. I'm blanking on his name now. Another reliever,
Zach Pop.
Yeah, he's actually Canadian. I think Jordan Groshans, we've kind of overvalued him in our own mind here in Toronto. When in reality, you know, if you're looking at like Eric Cross has his top 500 dynasty rankings, he's not in the top 500. Just for whatever that's going to tell you. I know it's different than real life, but that's like first thing that I went to fantasy wise. And obviously, like I said, it's different, but there's still something there with the lack of power that doesn't really excite me with him. I think that the name brand, people are still remembering a few years ago when he was more highly touted. The actual product recently hasn't been so great. So we shore up the bullpen. We have like four guys in our pen who used to be Marlins now. Yimi Garcia, Adam Simber. Mm-hmm. It's packed with Marlins. I like the trade okay. I don't think it really does exactly what we need. I think we really need an impact starting pitcher. Preferably a lefty. I would like Carlos Rodon. That would be ideal. But at this point, I think we'll be lucky to get Noah Syndergaard.
Now, hey, can I ask Marty a quick question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Marty, I saw that Robbie Grossman got traded. Thumbs up or thumbs down from a very well-noted Tigers fan?
Yeah, thumbs up. I mean, hopefully he'll be the left-handed Jesus who we got back, Chris Englund. I think that's his name. I wrote down real quick. Just some stuff. He's one of those guys that I actually had to look up. Like, who is this guy? So the Braves got him in the 16th round of the 2021 draft. He's played the season at the Florida Complex for 5 games. He played single A this year for 12 games. He has a 4.64 ERA, 26 walks, 56 strikeouts, and 52 innings. So here's the tie here, Britton, is that Chris Fetter, the Tigers' pitching coach, he recruited Englund for the University of Michigan when he was there. So there's a little bit of a tie there. Clearly, he really likes him. But Grossman was struggling, man, and I had him across. You know, I was touting him. I was excited. I was expecting him to be a 2020 guy, batting around 250, atop the lineup, maybe get you 80 runs, you know, 60 RBIs. And just like the rest of the team, they have fallen flat on their face. He's been lost. And even in OBP league, he's unplayable. So if the Braves can get something out of him, like they did the Duvalls, the Solaires, and everyone, you know, Sunday got everything. exactly, Scott. I'm just happy to get rid of him. Anytime Al Avila, who is the GM for the Tigers, if he makes a move, it's usually for the worst. But in this case, yeah, like Scott said, I'm glad we got anybody.
Mike. Yeah, it's amazing how his production fell off. Like Grossman, like you said, was a 2020 guy last year, and now he's got two home runs for the year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you guys think that we'll see Pablo Lopez move today?
I hope so.
Do you guys expect something like that to happen? I know that they've said that they're probably not going to move him outside of a massive return, but with the market kind of thinning out for starting pitchers, I could see someone maybe overpaying for him as we get closer to that deadline.
Yeah, the GM for the Marlins, she tweeted out something just about an hour ago. It says, we're not done yet, .. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. we got 30, 40 minutes? So, maybe.
Yeah, I think it'll take a lot to get him. You know, even though he's got the shoulder issues from time to time, which is a little scary. If you're making that big of a trade for a guy like him, boy, you're going to really want to make sure that he's healthy down the stretch, and you're going to need him. It seems like he gets felled by shoulder, and maybe that's just me anecdotally saying that, but it seems like he's had trouble on and off with that, and it's a little bit scary. Although he's probably, of the guys that are supposedly available, he's probably the best one, right, at this point, so...
Yeah, the reason why I'm a little afraid of like the trade for him. He's never pitched over 109 innings ever in his career. He's at like 115 right now. He just got blown up on the Mets. The guys still left: Tariq Skubal, Merrill Kelly, not Molly. We can talk about Molly. Noah Syndergaard, Madison Bumgarner, and Paul Blackburn. Those are like the most notable still left. So I would
Watch the White Sox get Bumgarner for no reason.
Watch the White Sox get Blackburn.
Yeah, no, I mean seriously, watch them do something like stupid, like get Bumgarner because they love what he was 5 years ago. They're famous for it, right? Get Griffey 5 years too late, you know.
LaRussa.
Yeah, right. There you go.
They got him 20 years too late.
for sure.
I'm shocked that Carlos Rodon hasn't been traded yet. He's got that opt out, so he's been great this season. He's going to opt out of his contract next year because he's going to sign a much more lucrative long term deal after
this
year.
It would seem that way. Yes.
So he's pitched 123 innings, 158 strikeouts. I mean, if you put him in the Astros or the Cardinals, I mean, they immediately become a much more dangerous team. And yeah, you only get them for a few months, but those teams are playing for a few months, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And for the playoffs. So I don't know how much you could get back for a rental, but this, I mean, this is a Cy Young guy that you can, if you're a contending team, I think you got to go after Carlos Rodon. Now, of course, San Francisco, you know, they're right around 500. So I don't know if they're buyers or sellers, but I looked up their lineup. Listen to their lineup, and I have no idea why they would keep Carlos Rodon for the year, but check this out. Tommy La Stella, Luis Gonzalez, Wilmer Flores, Brandon Belt, Mike Yastrzemski, Lamont Wade, Dixon Machado, Jose Vosler, and Joey Bart. Like,
household names.
I don't see World Series happening this year. Those are all great players, and they're a great coach, well-coached team. But, yeah, man, trade Carlos Rodon for a you know, top 100 prospect and go get him next year.
They have to be pretty disheartened with the moves that the Dodgers and the Padres have been making, right? I mean,
That's a great point. Yeah.
You know, you look at that and you look at that and say, well, shit, what's our chance at this point, right? I mean, like, maybe it's best to try to see what we can get here from that, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I didn't think about that. They're like, oh no. I was like, the Padres just pulled off like literally the superstar deal of, you know, I guess my lifetime that I could think of. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Apparently the Phillies are talking to Carlos Rodon and also Nathan Eovaldi.
So, the Phillies apparently were going to be in on Syndergaard because the Phillies acquired Brandon Marsh about half an hour ago, and they were going to have Noah Syndergaard in there, and then they backed out of that trade. So maybe it's because they knew something a little bit bigger was coming. Just to quickly recap here, the last half hour or so, David Robertson went to the Phillies. J.D. Davis and Darren Ruff were traded for one another. The Brandon Marsh trade to the Phillies. Luke Voit was the piece that completed the Juan Soto trade in place.
Marty Hosmer. Dude, unbelievable. I only get five ads a week in that league. And I was like, oh, man, Luke Voit, doubleheader, let's go. God damn it.
Yeah, it's a shame. But do you guys think that Voit's value now is kind of cooked for the year? I mean, it looked he was turning it around a little bit recently. The guys in the first hour were thinking that it's probably not going to be such a big change because he's, you know, the best hitter on that team now. He'll bat third or whatever. Do you think that he's a drop or would you be looking to add? What's the general thought here, Britton?
I'd hang on to him and see what happens. Like you said, he's starting to heat up lately. And I believe he was the home run leader in 2020.
Yep.
So, I'd hang on to him for a little while. Just let the dust settle, you know, just see how it goes. But yeah, he's definitely got the, you know, he's done it before with the home run power. So yeah, I'd hang on for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marty, Britton, I was going to say he might be on your show here. Three is the magic number. I could see him batting third in that lineup, you know, mm-hmm. here moving forward. So, he was batting seventh or eighth, you know, in that really powerful Padres lineup. So to see him now, he'll get more at bats, you know, potentially more, more stats.
Don't you love guys like that though? When you have a guy that, you know, he's done it in the past and if he's healthy, he's not a terrible team now, but that terrible team still has to have nine guys out there. Just like Britton was just talking about the Giants lineup. They still got to put nine guys out there, and somebody in that lineup is going to produce something. So it might be not a bad idea to hold on to them, especially when you think about the dearth of depth options at the corner infield spots in our fantasy teams, right? I mean, he might be a guy that if he hits 12 or 15 home runs down the rest of the way, you know, you might have a real good bargain there on your hands.
Yeah, and I just quickly brought up the MLB park factors and where he's going to in Washington. It's ranked the fifth best for home runs, and he's coming out of the Padres, which was 15th best. So a little upgrade there.
Yeah, it's a trade-off, right? He has no one really around him in that lineup to support him, but he'll have some more at-bats. There might be something mentally there in the 3 or 4 hole versus the 7 or 8 hole where he takes on more power. Who knows what really goes on inside the heads of everybody. We have kind of I could say it's an ebb in the trades right now. We haven't had anything new in the last half an hour or so. Maybe I'll switch gears here to Jacob DeGrom for a second. He's coming back tonight, and he is facing the much depleted Washington Nationals.
The ghost of the Washington Nationals.
The ghost. Man, insult to injury, right? Washington National fans. So we trade away our superstar and our first baseman, and now Jacob DeGrom's coming into town. Man, on his walk here. Yeah, he's going to be fired up.
What are we thinking?
It's so brutal to be a Washington National fan, losing Trey Turner, Max Scherzer, now Soto. I mean, geez,
Rendon, Harper.
That's a rough couple of years.
Washington doesn't have a lineup posted yet for tonight. They probably just got to see who's available. I was just looking on the RotoWire here, and they don't have a lineup posted yet.
Where's their AAA affiliate? How far is that from Washington? Because I'm sure they're going to need.
Are they Harrisburg? Is Harrisburg there?
Pennsylvania.
They called people up around 10 a.m. today. So.
Oh, did they? Yeah, they were anticipating this was going to.
Yeah, they knew. Yeah, that's when everyone thought Soto was getting moved. Yep.
Jacob DeGrom is probably about as safe of a bet tonight on any kind of bet you want to take on him getting the victory over for strikeouts, whatever.
Victor Robles is going to have to get like 9 more clown noses for their at-bats for Jacob DeGrom tonight.
That was funny. Ah, we have a trade. Oh, my God. The Padres get a little bit better. Brandon Drury going to San Diego.
Oh,
wow. Man. Another bat in that lineup. The return has not been announced yet. This is from Ken Rosenthal and Jeff Passan.
Both wow. Have news.
I love it. Look at them go. They're saying, hey, we're not – no half measures Breaking Bad. Like, no, with full measures here on out. Exactly. We're going to get Hader. We're going to get Juan Soto. And we're going to win this year and hopefully the next two, because they have Soto for a couple years, I believe, after this. But
I
think that's great.
The wild thing about it is that they're 58-46 and 12 games back of LA, so they're a wild card.
That's a great point.
I mean, you know, they are not wasting any time and pushing the chips to the table here. But I mean, what if they lose in the wild card round? That would be crazy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be tough to swallow.
They're 2 games out of the wild card right now. One of those teams ahead of them is the Brewers. Do you think the Brewers are still going to be competitive here after moving on from Hader? Do you think they see it as a lateral move to Taylor Rogers / Williams?
Yeah, I think they'll be. I think what they do is they rely on their starting pitching. Freddie Peralta's coming back here shortly. You know, the hitting's never really been there, and it really hasn't seemed to screw them up too much, and they're continuing to play just above .500 ball. So the Brewers are going to stay with what I would love to see them get a bat. I think that could have been extremely helpful. They didn't move. So, they're just going to keep relying on some of the best starting pitching in baseball.
It was interesting to see some of the responses to that trade because, you know, I had thought of that idea a couple of weeks ago on Fantrax that Hader could be on the move. And I got some DMs where people were questioning my sanity, which I understand. They're more than welcome to question my sanity at any time. But what I was pointing to was the fact that next year he's arbitration eligible and he's probably going to get a $5 or $6 million kick up, $17-18 million range potentially for him next year. That's a real high price tag for the Brewers when they've got guys like Williams, Boxberger. They always kick out bullpen arms. They always have good guys, right? So I think they look at it as, hey, you know, Hader's really good right now, but another year of throwing how he throws, he might be damaged goods here not too long down the road. And so I don't know that he's going to be able to continue to keep up the pace that he's been keeping up. He's not 23 years old anymore. I think he's 29. So by no means is he old. I mean, I'm old enough to be his father, for Christ's sake. But the point being that I think it's a calculated risk on their part. And they got Rogers back, is a guy that you cannot overuse. You know, the Padres, he had 35 save opportunities already for San Diego. He converted 28 of those. And I know, so that's not a great percentage there, but he's a guy that with overuse does not fare well. And so I think if they figure out a way to use him and pair him with Devin Williams, they could have a pretty good monster there. The other thing is, and this was something that people had not been paying much attention to, Hader had really soured on the multi-inning role. He did not want to do that. And he's more valuable in that role, I would argue, than he is as a closer. He did not want to. He made it very, very publicly known that he did not care for that role and didn't want to do it. So in a way, I felt like the Brewers' hands were kind of tied. And I thought that they got pretty good value back for him. I do kind of like Taylor Rogers, admittedly. But I think it's a good move for them.
I immediately tweeted out, or pretty immediately after the trade, saying, Luis Garcia, if you picked him up in San Diego hoping for saves, go ahead, drop him. Of course, last night he gets another save. So Hader's not in town yet. But
I spent up for him in Fab, Marty, in our league. I don't know if you saw that on Sunday, but I think I bid like $40-some dollars on him. And then the next day to get Hader, I'm like, oh, God, Christ.
If only it was a hold league.
Oh, thank you. Joel just posted that Victor Acosta was the Padres prospect going back to the Reds for Drury.
I'm not so big into prospects. Do you guys know anything about Victor Acosta?
He's the top 10. He's a top 10 guy for the Padres. So they've pretty much cleaned out the cupboard today.
Yeah, the Padres have no system left. They better hope Juan Soto resigns, or else there's going to be some angry fans with pitch torches in a couple of years. Let's see. Is there anything else? Jairus Familia has been designated for assignment. Not so much of a surprise there. Just a recap by Jeff Passan, the last 24-ish hours for the Padres. Hader, Soto, Josh Bell, Brandon Drury. My God. Do you think that they have a chance to catch the Dodgers in the division? I know they're down 12, but let's say the Dodgers don't make a big move today and they just kind of stand pat. Well, Joey Gallo, I mean, if you want to call that a big move, up to you. But do you think that they have a chance of catching up to them?
No, it's less about the Padres move. It's just 12 games. That's a lot of games. I think most teams have around 40 games left, 40-something, 45, maybe around there. So, no, I don't think so. But when we get a chance, I want to talk about Tyler Mahle, because that would be huge for the Twins.
Let's talk about him.
Well, you know, can I just add one thing before Marty goes into that? Because I think Mahle is a huge piece, too, and it's depressing as a White Sox fan. one of the things that I think is really interesting is that when we're talking about all these things, you know, there's all those ancillary things that go along with some of these moves that come with it. And I lost my train of thought. I had a point there that I was going to make about – Marty, go ahead. Sorry, I'll come back to it.
Well, I was just gonna say with Mahle, I mean, yeah, as a Tigers fan, you know, the AL Central, it's not our year this year, Mike. I think we just gotta just sit back and relax and enjoy what the Twins and even the Guardians are doing to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But for Mahle, that is huge. I have Mahle in so many different leagues. And just looking, you know, quickly, like, and just going back to the ballpark factor. So it's been brutal watching him play in the Great American Small Park. That is number two in the league for the most home runs year in, year out. Now he's going to the Target Field a lot more friendly, 19th in home runs. Mm-hmm. So the K percentage has always been over 25%. His xERAs are about 3.44, so about almost a point higher or lower than his regular ERA. So moving now, he's going to be, and when we know this, the last month of the season is always dedicated to in-division play. So that's a lot of the Royals. That's a lot of the Tigers. That's a lot of the struggling White Sox. And so, I think the arrow is pointing far up for him. So if you do it, if you have an opportunity to trade for him in your home leagues, I would look to do so, you know, to the less savvy player.
I've had Tyler Mahle all year and a couple of them. I couldn't be happier. Hoping that we can get something closer to what we got out of him last season for sure, where he had like, I think, a 4-win season. If you're talking about WAR, he was really a valuable guy last season, and I think it kind of blew under the radar.
He broke out last year.
Yeah,
it was a Tyler Mahle breakout season last year. So, you know, he's got the stuff. So, just like Marty said, now he's in, you know, he's in a division where he's really going to help.
Yeah, I remember what I was going to say as you guys were talking about the Dodgers. One of the things that I think is really interesting, I don't think that the Padres are going to catch him either, but I do think this is interesting too. The Dodgers don't necessarily have to do anything too splashy, because in the coming weeks, they're going to get Chris Taylor back. They're going to get Blake Treinen back. And maybe at some point they get Buehler back.
Buehler, please.
Right? Right?
Oh, yeah.
So if they get those three guys back, that's the same as that's better than any trade acquisition that they're probably were going to get at this point. And Gallo's interesting just from the standpoint of maybe somebody could fix him, you know?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. He was looking to get out of a big market, and so he went from New York to Los Angeles.
Yeah,
they're a lot more friendly in LA, and the reporters and the actual fans around the team and stuff, they're nowhere near as harsh. You know, it's more when you go to a Dodgers game, it's more of a party, and I've been there a bunch to Dodger Stadium, so they'll be a lot nicer to him. But mentally, I'm feeling for Joey Gallo. I mean, that's tough, you know, day in, day out.
Getting booed. Yeah.
He's talking about players from other teams were coming up to him saying, "Hey, man, I'm sorry, dude, just keep your head up." I mean, that's when you know it's bad.
That interview was sad, man.
I read that too. Oh,
yeah.
God. And at least, you know, going to L.A., the Dodgers fans hate Cody Bellinger more than they hate Gallo. So he's got somebody else to share it with.
If you're Joey Gallo, though, this is the best news you ever could have gotten. You're like, so I'm leaving New York, going to Los Angeles, and I'm going to be on a Dodgers team? I mean, what else can you ask for if you're Joey Gallo? I mean, it's not like the Yankees did him wrong or anything. It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he could possibly have some value. I mean, if he gets regular playing time, probably more of a daily change league kind of guy, but maybe something will change in his headspace now that he's out of New York and he can be that kind of high OBP home run kind of guy.
Let's see the Dodgers Yankees World Series game 7, you know, bottom of the ninth. Here comes Joey Gallo ready to crank one to take the Dodgers to the World Series.
Oh, that would be so beautiful.
That would be some drama.
Yeah,
poetic justice on that.
Romantic, wow. Yep, for sure.
World Series MVP, Joey Gallo.
That'd be amazing. Roster Resorts has already slotted him in. Ninth batter in left field. So all of you James Outman believers, you know, unfortunately he might have to be taking a seat, which is an amazing way to start off his career. Home run, went 3-for-4, got a single last night. But I'm happy for Gallo. I'm happy to see him move out of there and get away from the toxic environment. And, yeah, for him to have a renaissance in L.A. would be pretty cool.
Small trade here to announce. The Mariners are acquiring Kurt Casale from the Giants for Michael Streifler, I believe. He's a minor league guy. But not a big trade there. But it's been kind of dry for a little while. So good to have something happen, at least see that there are some pulses out there. We're just an hour and 20 minutes short of the deadline. The biggest name still available would probably be Carlos Rodon, I think. Would you guys agree there? Or who would you say is the biggest name still out there?
I'd say, yeah.
Well, I'd say Rodon, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about Ohtani?
They already said they're not going to do it. But
that would be great. I hope that happens.
Well, I liked your question, Joe, of, you know, who would you rather have? You know, who would you rather trade for, Soto or Ohtani? And I was definitely in the Ohtani boat just because of, you know, and you talked about it last hour with the other guys. But, yeah, two-way player, you know, could you imagine him starting for you as a pitcher, you know, game one and then the rest, you know, 3-4 games, and then he's hitting and then he comes back as a starter? I mean, that would just be absolutely incredible. And selfishly, I want to see the best players in the league in the playoffs. Call me crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of sad when you think about it. You got Ohtani, Trout on the same team. Anthony Rendon has been hurt, but if he was healthy, I mean, you got kind of some superstars there, but it just didn't work out, unfortunately. See,
I differ a little bit on this because I prefer Soto to Ohtani. And my logic might not be super sound, but I think he's 5 years younger. You know, I don't want to say he's a better hitter than Ohtani, but I think he's a better hitter than Ohtani.
I'm comfortable with saying that.
Yeah, and I wonder sort of in my, you know, I'm not always a super optimistic type of guy when it comes to these types of things. And I worry, you know, with having had the arm trouble at one point, how much longer are they going to let him continue to do this? Right. I mean, let's say that he does that another 2 or 3 years. And I mean, it's remarkable. It's completely remarkable what he's doing. I've never seen anything like it before. But if you then take the pitching away 2 or 3 years from now, say, and you're comparing hitter to hitter, you're then comparing a 30 or 31 year old guy to a guy who's hitting his prime. And from that standpoint, I prefer Soto.
Yeah, I prefer Soto.
Yeah.
This is what I would ask, you know, if you are one of the teams looking to get Ohtani, you are looking to win this year
right now.
So yeah. Mike, let me ask you, would you, your, let's say it's the White Sox, you trade in, you get Ohtani and you win the World Series next year or this year, do you give a damn if his arm hurts in 2 years?
No.
And I think that's what, you know, that's what you kind of got to ask yourself, you know. Yeah. Especially if you need starting pitching and you need an impact bat, not taking anything away from Soto. And I think long term, if you're in a dynasty league, Soto's a no-brainer. You definitely want to have the 23-year-old. But for the rest of this year, I go with Tommy.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Got a question here. I'm assuming it's from Dan, who is one of my seniors over here at Sports Ethos. I watched a truckload of Dodgers, almost zero Yankees. Is Gallo even an upgrade over what Jake Lamb has been doing in that role? Potentially, yeah. If some of the things, like I said earlier, if something gets cleared mentally from leaving New York and he can just be in that, like Marty said, fun environment down there in the Chavez Ravine. I think that there's a decent chance that he's has some kind of value. I know we're talking fantasy or real life here. It's a little bit different. I think he'll have more real life value to the Dodgers than he will in a fantasy perspective. But what do you guys think?
I think Jake Lamb's not bad. I'm so sorry, Joe. I couldn't resist.
Britain has won the day. Britain has won the day.
Yeah, Jake Lamb was on the White Sox last year. You know, our latest reclamation project. You know, take somebody who was a prospect who struggled, and then have him come to your team and watch him continue to struggle. That's the White Sox way. That's how they do business.
Well, I'm looking at Jake Lamb's stats. So 67 at-bats so far this season, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, slashing .239, .338, .433. So I think, I mean, if Gallo has a good week, you know, he can put up more better numbers than that. So I think the ceiling's obviously higher. But what the Dodgers pride themselves in is when they take somebody off the bench, it's going to be a solid contributor. You know, whether that's the McKinstrys or, you know, whoever they grab off there, they seem to fit right in. Joey Gallo, as we know, it's all or nothing. So I think they wanted to add him just to try to put them over the top, but they're not going to rely on him. And I said this on Twitter. If he has a bad month, he just won't see the field. You know, they just won't play him in the playoffs. And I think you know, all the Dodgers fans are going to be okay with that.
It's a good question. Will he even make a postseason roster? I think it's a coin flip right now, honestly. It's a total coin flip. If he does over these next 6 weeks, then he will, but.
Yeah, the Dodgers have nothing to lose, really.
No, I mean, there's nothing to lose in this one, right? I mean, and you're also getting a guy that characteristically, obviously he's striking out at a high clip, but he's always done that. He's always been over 35% K rate, but he's still walking a lot, and he's an OBP machine, and batting ninth in your lineup a couple of times a week in front of guys like Mookie Betts and Trey Turner and stuff like that, you know, he could be a valuable weapon if he can kind of get over – you know, the shell shock that he was facing in New York.
Mm-hmm. I think he just needs some of that California Kush. He'll be fine.
There you go.
I forgot about Chris Taylor, honestly, down in Los Angeles. How deep is that lineup? If you could take one lineup today, would you take the Dodgers or the Padres?
Padres.
Ooh. Padres?
Mike? Yeah, I gotta go Padres. I mean, Fernando Tatis Jr., and don't get me wrong, the Dodgers are great, but Tatis, Soto, Machado. Yeah, it's all the sex, you know? that's what it is. The Dodgers are the solid, you know, got a good job. But, you know, the Padres are the new hotness right now.
Yeah, that's the new thing. But, you know, I also kind of like some of those, you know, Christy Brinkley type, you know, Al McPherson. I'll go with the Dodgers just to be contrarian, because I think that the Dodgers, and you know, they have that experience factor. You know, the Padres are the sexy, shiny new toy, and they're great. I mean, I'm not disparaging anybody that's on that team, but the Dodgers have some pretty experienced guys that have been through some wars. Mookie, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, Muncy. I know Muncy's not been great. Some guys with a lot of experience there, and I think that means something when you get down to the nitty gritty, you know. The Padres have a bunch of really good hitters, but have any of those guys really produced in a pennant race? And maybe they have, and I'm just thinking anecdotally off the top of my head.
Champion.
Yeah, Soto. Yeah. That's about it, though, right? I mean, Machado's never even been to the playoffs, I don't think. Oh, well,
Hosmer. With the Dodgers.
But Hosmer's playing first base for El Paso. Red Sox right now. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think, I don't know, honestly, because it's like you said, the shiny new toy factor. You want to say the Padres, but like Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, Chris Taylor coming back now, Gallo, which for whatever it is, he's still a guy who has like 35 plus home run potential. And Scott's making a good point here in the chat as well. Gallo can be I think he has a couple gold gloves, actually, at least one. So he's a plus defender there as well. I don't know. I honestly don't know which side I would take. Pitching-wise, would you go Dodgers right now? With Walker Buehler out, which rotation would you rather take? I think I'd go Padres, but it's close. Britton?
I think I'd go Dodgers. I do. I'm a big fan of Julio Urias. Of course, you got Clayton Kershaw. Yeah, I'd stick with the Dodgers. And I like the Padres, but, you know, you Darvish – I think Joe Musgrove obviously just signed an extension, and I really like him. And then Mike Clevinger, okay. I watched Clevinger pitch the other day, and I remember watching him with the Cleveland Guardians. And, man, that herky-jerky stuff he does up there, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it is all kinds of parts and things and all kinds of stuff super busy going on. So I'm a little worried about that. But, yeah, I think I'd just better safe than sorry. I'll just take the Dodgers.
One thing with the movements like that, I think Luis Garcia might have the most unique windup there for Houston, the way he
– the rock, the baby.
Rocks yeah. back and forth, yeah.
But I think that's a great question, you know, like a really good question, which starting rotation you'd rather have moving forward. And Mike touched on it earlier. I love the veteran leadership and the, you know, what the Dodgers have accomplished in the playoffs. You know, they've been there a bunch. So you have Kershaw, you know, and you have a bunch of, you know, good players in that sense. What is it? Kershaw, Gonsolin, Andrew Heaney, obviously a question mark. Tyler Anderson's been playing over his head all year, but he's still been great. Julio Urias, he's really good. But you look at the Padres, man, Darvish, Snell, Musgrove, Sean Manaea, then Clevinger. One through four, I'm going to have to go the Padres, but it's super close. I think you could flip a coin on that one, too.
I just think because Gonsolin is, like, he's not going to keep this up, right? Like, I don't think he can. Tyler Anderson, it's just these guys are not names that you go to and think what they're doing right now is set in stone what they're going to be giving you the rest of the season. Where I feel like you have a little bit more consistency there with the Padres. And Yu Darvish has been great despite not striking out as many batters. I still think that they're very deep. Now, maybe not as deep without Mackenzie Gore anymore. Ah, man. I still can't believe that trade. I still can't really believe it. Mike, what do you think? Would you rather have Dodgers or Padres?
You know, I'm such a pain in the ass. I mean, just in general, but today even more. Because I hear you guys talking and saying things, and I keep thinking, like, Are the Padres got all this powerful offense and have kind of rebuilt their bullpen on the fly and got Hader. But, like, if you're in a playoff, a three-game series, who are the three guys that are starting for the Padres?
Musgrove,
Darvish, and...
Musgrove, Darvish, and Clevinger?
Question mark.
I thought Snell.
Snell, maybe?
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, I mean, yeah. Snell is likely to blow up, I mean, at any time, right? So... I'm looking at that from an outside perspective and saying, wow, you know, you've got a 16-inch softball lineup, you know, to play ball with. But in the playoffs, what do we know? You know, there's a lot of 2-1, 3-2 games in the playoffs that come down to who's got the best pitching at that time. That's not to say they can't get hot. But I'm looking at that. I'm thinking, like what you were saying, Britton, before. I'm like, man, get Carlos Rodon in there. if he's your third starter, you're the favorite, in my opinion. But – you know, it's not that easy to have that happen, you know.
So, like, who would be the three Dodgers you'd roll out there?
That's a great question. I mean, I think it depends on where Buehler's at when the playoffs start, right? But I mean,
true. I forgot about that.
If Buehler's healthy, it would be Buehler, Kershaw, and Urias for me.
Yeah,
for me,
that's three good ones.
Let's say Buehler's not back. Who is the third guy for you? Is it Anderson or is it Gonsolin?
I'm going to start Jack Carter, my son. I'll tell you what, he won't throw it hard, but he will throw strikes. I will tell you that.
Getting outs. That's what he does.
Talking about you know, not throwing strikes, and that's the thing about Blake Snell that does worry me. He's got a 12.8 walk percentage at this point, which is in the fifth percentile in all of baseball. But he still has an extra ERA of 3.49. So he's that X factor, man. He can roll out there, get you six great innings, or he could blow up. So yeah, the more we talk about it, the more I might be leaning Dodgers. Damn it, Mike, you are a pain in the ass.
I see it's the problem. The problem is that I have so much time alone to think, and then I get to talk to guys like you guys that are super knowledgeable about this stuff, and I just am like, yeah, but if you thought about this, and I'm like, nobody cares. Like my family, nobody's even here. They don't care. I talk about these things. They're like, we don't even know what you're talking about, dude. Like, it makes no sense to us, you know? But, I always find that interesting, you know? Things don't get won on paper, unfortunately, right? So it's like you can look great on paper. It's the team that's playing hot at the right time, and who knows? I mean, we haven't even talked about Houston. Houston made some great moves in the last couple of days, right? They got Trey Mancini. They got Vasquez. They got Will Smith. I mean, like, they really bolstered themselves up. Like, I'm looking at that, and everybody wants to get on the Yankees jock, and that's great, but they still got to be Houston, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah. They've had a tough time. They can't beat Houston. You know, Houston rolls in there and just beats them every time. So, yeah, that's a big question mark.
I love the Trey Mancini move. I love that trade. He's going to do wonders over there.
I sit there and I look at that stuff and I'm like, did they even give anything up for these guys? Like, I mean, they gave up Odorizzi for Smith. Odorizzi was no longer useful to them, even though he's been fine. They got a power lefty. They got a massive catcher upgrade in terms of offensively, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Maldonado is great defensively, and the pitchers love him, but they really need somebody that, you know, that can be a little bit more consistent with the bat. Dave, Astros just brought new garbage cans too. Bang, bang.
Is Wilson Contreras getting moved? What do we, I mean, I haven't seen anything yet. He can't stay in Chicago.
Oh, my God. If he stays in Chicago with all the crap that he's been pulling in the last 6 weeks, I have no soft spot in my heart for Wilson Contreras.
All I see him is hugging and crying. I didn't know he did something wrong.
No, he's a
Cub. That's all that he has to do. He's a Cub.
Now, I'm not anti-Cub. To be really clear about that, I am not anti-Cub. What I'm anti is they won one World Series with that core that they had, and Contreras was part of that core. And they're like applauding him like he's like Pujols leaving. I'm like, what are you people on drugs? What is the problem here? Like, he's a catcher. He's decent. He can hit. He can throw. He's not a great catcher.
I agree with you. That is the one that is their Pujols. I mean, in the sense of like they only have one World Series in 100 and something years.
Right.
Like, this is all they got.
Yeah, this is that last part to say goodbye to, you know.
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, I was surprised that they hung on to him as long as they did, because I thought when they were first doing all that stuff, I thought, oh, you know, they're going to pick somebody to build around, and it probably will be Baez or something like that. And they didn't keep any of those guys, you know. And now they got a real uphill climb to go. But it's fun. Contreras and Happ on all weekend were crying and hugging and loving each other, and everything was, you know. And this could be the last game. Wouldn't it be hilarious if he doesn't get traded?
I think he goes to the Mets. I think a lot of the stuff is connecting him to the Mets, and I think the Mets make the most sense at the end of the day. Yeah, they need a catcher. They need a catcher. The Cubs need to just fully start over, and I think that's kind of one of the last pieces really remaining from that 2016 team. Happ wasn't on that team in 2016, was he? Can't remember now.
No, he wasn't there yet.
Yeah. So
what about San Diego's catching? I mean, why not? They could. Why don't they just number 7 and 8 prospect? Get rid of all 10 of your prospects today for some players that you can use to try to win this year.
I think Alfaro's been pretty good.
Yeah, Alfaro has looked pretty good. That's true.
And I think Nola's back from injury.
Yeah, I forgot about him. That's right.
They're probably not too worried. Good Austin call. Nola, the guy hasn't played, and I don't even think he played much last year either, did he? I think he's been injured for a while, so easy to forget about him.
Yeah.
Matt Boyd traded to the Mariners. That's the most recent bit of news here. Pretty quiet hour overall. The first hour, I don't know if you guys were listening in, but there was like constant news coming in over the wire. A bit of a dead spot. I hope that people are on the phones preparing us for the last hour now. We are an hour and 4 minutes away from the deadline. I'm sure a couple of things will continue to trickle in even after 6 o'clock, but right now, there's still a couple of big names out there. I don't think we're seeing an Ohtani trade at this point, but Lopez, Rodon, Contreras, there's still some guys out there that we could see moved. We are approaching the top of the hour, like I just said, so I'm going to give these guys one more chance to let us know where you can find their work, their shows, their articles, all of that good stuff. Why don't we start with you, Mikey?
Yeah, so again, Mike Carter covering bullpens at Fantrax, at the worst Twitter handle of all time at MDRC. 0508. The story behind it was that I was just joined Twitter 4 or 5 years ago to follow my daughter, who was doing it for a class, and when she was in middle school, and that just kind of developed into its own thing. So Fantrax, SP Streamer, Joe, I want to say real quickly before I turn it over to Marty and Britton, number one, thank you again for having me. Being on with Marty and Britton was great. I've been on with Marty a few times before, Britton first time. I hope it's not the last. And Joe, I want to give you a shout out because you've been a new voice this year who has done an incredible amount of work and are incredibly bright and gifted at hosting these webcasts, podcasts, whatever the hell they call them. And thank you for having me on, because I think you're doing a great job, and keep up the good work, man. It's been really, really fun to see you doing this stuff.
I appreciate it, man. This was a lot of effort went into this, but it's been a lot of fun so far. We're not even half the way there. So hopefully we have a great last couple of hours in store here. Marty, tell us where you can find all your stuff, man.
Absolutely. And I echo everything that Mike said. Britton, Mike, it's always great to see you. Mike, I actually got to see Mike in real life here in a live draft for GLARP right outside of Wrigley Field. So that was really cool meeting you. But yeah, you can always find me at Twitter, Marty_Tallman. Always find me at the Triple Play Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We have a great guest this week, so we're super excited for that. And then Fantrax, every Sunday morning, expect to see the two start pitchers and, you know, me breaking those down every week. And again, thank you, Joe. It was great being on.
Absolutely. My light just flickered here in the background. So if you guys see, if I go in the dark here, you'll know
it's
why.
It's a ghost.
The problem with the bulb here. But Marty, thank you so much for taking the time, man. I hope we were able to get you out of the workday there, and I hope you don't have to go back to it now. I hope you can just relax for the rest of the night.
Hey, man, I'm in sales. I'll be back on the second we get off. No days off from that.
Yuck.
Britton, why don't you tell us real quick where we can find your stuff, man?
Hey, Joe, thanks again for letting me come on. I really enjoyed it. You're making it look easy. It isn't. Mm-hmm. It isn't, but you're making it look easy. So congrats to you for putting this on. It's so much fun. My name is Britton Allen. I have a podcast called Three is a Magic Number. It's on the Triple Play Fantasy Network with Ain't No Party Like a Marty Party and company down there. Mike, it was great to meet you via computer and talk with you. I hope I get to know you better as the days go on. But thank you again, Joe. I really appreciate it. And thank you guys.
Thank all of you guys. It was really great. I'm going to now kick you all out, unfortunately. But thank you all for being here.